Good evening and a warm welcome to the service this evening. Those who are watching online, those who are listening in on the telephone again. It's good for us to come this evening to worship God together. And we'll begin this time of worship by singing to God's praise from Psalm 140, and we'll sing from verses 1 to verse 7. Lord, from the ill and froward man give me deliverance, and do thou safe preserve me from the man of violence. And we sing down to the end of verse 7. I said unto the Lord, thou art my God, unto the cry of all my supplications, Lord, do thine ear apply, O God the Lord, who art the strength of my salvation, a covering in the day of war, my head thou hast put on. These verses 1 to 7 we sing to God's praise.
Lord, from the to a serpent's tongue, their tongues they sharp do make, and underneath their lips there lies the poison. God the Lord, who
Let's unite our hearts in prayer now. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that on this Lord's Day evening, we are able to come into your presence and that you have given us the desire, you've given us the opportunity, you've given us the freedom to gather together in worship. And we ask, Lord, that you would still our hearts, that you would clear our minds, and that you would enable us to focus on you as our God. We thank you for the psalm that we have sung. And we pray that with the psalmist we would be able to say, I said unto the Lord, thou art my God. Unto the cry of all my supplications, Lord, do thine ear apply. We thank you that although you are the God who is sovereign, the God who rules and who reigns over heaven and earth, we thank you that we can say that you are our God. And we thank you that we have the assurance that as we sing praises, you are the God who hears and who accepts these praises when they are in spirit and in truth. And we thank you that as we pray in and through the name of Jesus, we have the assurance that you hear our prayers and that you help us. We thank you in that psalm that we see so many times that you are the God who helps us, who rescues us, who delivers us, who preserves us. You're the one who, as we cry to you, responds in mercy and in grace. And we would ask, Lord, for that mercy and for that grace this evening. We confess once more that we are sinners and we are worthy of receiving your judgment, but we cry out for mercy and we ask, Lord, that you would withhold from us the judgment that we deserve. And we look to you for the grace that comes through Jesus. All that we do not deserve, we pray that you would give to us because of what Christ has done. We thank you that his life was a perfect, righteous life, the life that we have not lived. And we thank you that his death was not in vain, but his death was in our place. He who was innocent died in the place of the guilty, so that we who are sinners could be saved in and through his blood. So we ask, Lord, that we would know the assurance of that salvation. We pray that we would be found this evening and each day returning to that cross where we are humbled, as we see our sin, but where we are lifted up and encouraged as we see our Saviour. Help us, we pray, as McShane said in days gone by, to look at ourselves, yes, but for every look at self we take, may we take 10 looks at Jesus. We pray that you would help us this evening as we open your word, that we would be given your Spirit, that we may understand and see and hear the things that you would have us see and hear. We pray that you would give to us the faith that is a gift from God. And we pray, Lord, that you would enable us to lean upon you throughout this new year as that we have entered into. We thank you that although we do not know what's ahead, we come to the God who knows the future. And we pray that you would equip us, that you would prepare us for all that is ahead of us. At this time, we are conscious of much in the way of trouble in this world, as we feel the bite of the pandemic once more. We pray, Lord, that you would help us, that you would protect us, that you would steady us at a time when so many are in panic. Enable us to look to you and to know your continued protection over us. We thank you, Lord, thus far that you have been with us, and we pray that you would continue to have your hand upon us and enable us to continue to seek to shade under your wings. We pray, Lord, for those who are in authority over us at this time, as they have decisions to make week by week which are are decisions which could not ever have been imagined or planned in times past. We pray that you would give them the wisdom that they need. We are conscious, Lord, that we do not hear those in authority asking for wisdom from heaven. We are conscious that we do not hear anything of a reverence of and a bowing down before the God who rules over all. But we ask, Lord, that you would enable us and enable them to be humbled. We pray that you would reveal yourself to us once more as a nation, that we may return to the God who once we walked close with, and we would once more look to the book where we receive wisdom from heaven. Forgive us for our wanderings and heal our land, we pray, as we would seek to turn back to you. We ask, Lord, that you would be with those who are struggling tonight. We are conscious once more of those who are grieving. We pray for your comfort to be given to them. We are conscious also of those who struggle with addictions and who may feel low at this time of year. And we pray for all who are in such need that you would reach out to them and that they would know your help and your presence. We pray for the YF as they meet again this evening. And we ask, Lord, that in their early years, they and the Sunday school, all the young people of our community, that they would know you, that they would remember you, that they would trust you in the days of their youth, and that they would walk with you all the days of their lives. So hear our prayers. Help us, meet us at the point of our need, and enable us to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus. For we pray these things in his name and for his sake. Amen. We'll turn now to read the psalm that we sang, Psalm 140, and we'll read the whole of this psalm. For the director of music, a psalm of David. Rescue me, O Lord, from evil men. Protect me from men of violence who devise evil plans in their hearts and stir up war every day. They make their tongues as sharp as a serpent's. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Selah. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Protect me from the men of violence who plan to trip my feet. Proud men have hidden a snare for me. They have spread out the cords of their net and have set traps for me along my path. Selah. O Lord, I say to you, you are my God. Hear, O Lord, my cry for mercy. O Sovereign Lord, my strong deliverer, who shields my head in the day of battle. Do not grant the wicked their desires, O Lord. Do not let their plans succeed, or they will become proud. Selah. Let the heads of those who surround me be covered with the trouble their lips have caused. Let burning coals fall upon them. May they be thrown into the fire, into miry pits, never to rise. Let slanderers not be established in the land. May disaster hunt down men of violence. I know that the Lord secures justice for the poor and upholds the cause of the needy. Surely the righteous will praise your name, and the upright will live before you. Amen, and may God bless that reading of his word. We'll pray once more. Our Heavenly Father, we ask now once more that you would be close to us. We pray that you would speak into our lives. We pray that we would know that sense of your presence, that our hearts would burn within us as those who know that we are walking with Jesus. Enable us, Lord, we pray, to know the help of the Holy Spirit in reading and preaching and listening and in responding. And what we pray for ourselves here, we pray for every congregation that meets online this evening, and the very few congregations that are able to meet in real time as well. We pray, Lord, that as we struggle with the restrictions that continue to be over us, that you would give us patience. And Lord God, that you would enable us to continue to know your hand upon us for good and your ministry to us in our need. So hear our prayers and help us as we open your word, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you could turn with me to the psalm that we read just for a few minutes. Sometimes when we are on a journey, there can be viewpoints that are marked at the side of the road, and they're signposted, and I suppose we are encouraged just by their existence and by the signs to stop the car, to take in the view, to take out a flask of coffee, and to just enjoy the scene. And we see tourists doing that kind of thing all the time. They sit in their cars watching the waves breaking over the sand. They get out of their cars and they wander down to enjoy the water. But we who live on the island tend to be more familiar with the landscape, and we rush on. Now in the psalm that we're looking at here, we see the word Selah. It's a word that's commonly used in the psalm. 71 times we'll find it in the psalms. It's used 3 times in this psalm. And it's a mark within particular psalms, whereby we are encouraged as readers not to rush on, but to take a moment, take a breath, and pause and meditate on the person and the works of God. And that's something that we often find hard to do. We're people who find it very easy to be busy and industrious, but we find it hard to stop and take a moment and meditate upon the reality and the revelation of who God is and what he's done for us. But we need to do that more often than we think. And so these Selahs are there as signs in the Psalms for us to pause and meditate upon God. And in the psalm we see various things about who God is, as he reveals himself to us through the psalmist and through the psalmist's prayer. And the first thing that we see in this psalm is that God is our rescuer. Verse 1, David says, "Rescue me, O Lord, from evil men." That's how his psalm, that's how this prayer begins. It's quite abrupt. He just cries out, "Rescue me, O Lord, from evil men." Now, most of us know when it comes to prayer that we are to usually begin with worship. We think about who God is before we get to our own petitions. Sometimes we use that acronym to help us structure our prayers. ACTS. A for adoration, C for confession, T for thanksgiving, S for supplication. So we start with God, we move on to confession, we take time to thank him for who he is and what he does for us. And then we move on to the petitions and the requests. But David here, in this psalm, he just goes straight to the request. He's in trouble. He's struggling. And so you could say that this psalm, it's like an arrow prayer. It's an emergency call. David cries out to God, asking that God would rescue him. And there's times when that's the only kind of prayers that we can pray. We feel like we're sinking. We feel like we're in desperate trouble. And so we cry out, as David did, "Rescue me, Lord. Save me. Help me." We can think about Peter in Matthew chapter 14 when he's sinking. And he just cries out to Jesus, "Lord, save me." And for David, he has that sinking feeling in this psalm. He is sinking under the slandering tongues of evil men. And so he sends this prayer up like a flare from a sinking boat. He cries out for rescue. And he does that because he knows that God is our rescuer. And he's the one who rescues us, not only from evil men, but from the one who is the architect behind the designs of evil men, Satan. Spurgeon says, "David does not so much plead against an individual as against the species represented by him, namely the being whose best description is the evil man. And David recognises, I think, the evil one behind these evil men. And so he cries out to the only one who is able to rescue him from the clutches of that evil one. And that's the Lord. So the application for us, as we sometimes come under pressure, as we sometimes come under attack, as we recognise the enemy using circumstances and people to attack us at soul level, what do? Who do we cry out to? Well, we cry out to the Lord and we ask that he will rescue us. David in Psalm 23, in that well-loved Psalm, says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." And that's the reality. When the Lord is our shepherd, yes, we'll still face evil, but we need not fear evil, because the good shepherd, Jesus, came to rescue us from evil. We're just through Christmas a few weeks back, and we can ask the question, why did Jesus come? We celebrate the fact that he came at Christmas, but why did he come? And John tells us in 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. In other words, the reason the Son of God appeared was to rescue us from the devil's works, from the devil's attacks. We've sentimentalized so much of Christmas. But Christmas actually was a declaration of war against Satan. Christmas was a rescue mission, where God the Son left heaven to come to earth to rescue us. So the first thing we see here is that God is rescuer, and we are rescued as we cry out to him in prayer, as David did. So let me ask before we move on, have you cried out to him for that rescue, for that salvation, for that help that he alone can give us? The second thing we see here is that God is our preserver. Verse 1 still, "Protect me from men of violence." That's what the NIV says. The ESV translates that same word as "preserve me from violent men who devise evil plans in their hearts and stir up war every day. They make tongues," verse 3, "as sharp as serpents. The poison of vipers is on their lips." So we learn here, as David cries out, as he continues to cry out, that God is our preserver. He is his preserver. Now, what was David's predicament in terms of the circumstances he was in this psalm? Well, we're not too sure. It may have been that he was not yet king, but as one who had defeated Goliath, his popularity was on the incline, and Saul, the king's popularity, was on the decline. So Saul was increasingly hating David. He was violent. He was jealous against David, and David was vulnerable. So it may have been that Saul's staff were slandering David and were on the attack against David because they saw him as a threat. Or it may be that it's during his reign as king, when he often faced trouble and violence in opposition to his reign. But either way, whatever situation he was in, he was at risk. He faced enemies. He was the target of evil men and their evil designs. So what does he do? Well, he asks that God would preserve him. The Hebrew word that's used for that word, that's translated as protect or preserve, it is a word that means to be kept secret or to be hidden. Spurgeon says, "There is but one sure preserver, and it is our wisdom to hide under the shadow of his wings. We may not therefore hope to pass through the world without enemies, but we may hope to be delivered out of their hands and preserved from their rage, so that no real harm shall come out of their malignity. This blessing is to be sought by prayer and expected by faith. Now, at the beginning of a new year, we do tend to look out. We wonder what's in store. And if we are realists, then we can expect that there will be some degree of trouble in the course of this year. We can't expect to be followers of Jesus in this hostile world and not face trouble because of our faith. But when we do, the encouragement we are given through this psalm is that there are wings of shelter that we can hide under and be preserved as we take solace. Psalm 91, which has been much quoted over the last year, verse 4 says, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." Over the past few weeks, I was watching a documentary where various people are taken and they're dropped in the middle of this wilderness, this Arctic wilderness. The program's called Alone. And these people, they have to try and survive for 100 days and not phone to be taken out of the place. And so the first thing each person does when they're dropped in this harsh wilderness is they build a shelter, because there's no hope for them if they don't have a strong shelter. Now, for us as Christians, if we're Christians, we don't have to build our own shelter. We have a shelter from all the trouble of this world, and the Lord is our shelter. It's the message we're being taught here. And we are preserved, we are protected as we come to the Lord and as we walk close with the Lord Jesus. So be encouraged to come to him. It may be that there's someone who's watching tonight. It's likely that there's someone watching tonight who has not yet come to the Lord. And if you haven't, what's stopping you this evening from coming to the Lord and asking him to forgive you of your sin and come into your life? And if we are those who are Christians, who are already following the Lord Jesus, then the encouragement that I think we're given and by application here is that we are to walk close with God and to know that constant protection that he alone can give us. So God is our rescuer. God is our preserver. And at this point, we read in the psalm that word, Selah. So we should take a moment and pause and think about the rescue that has been offered to us in Christ. Think about the preservation that we are assured when we are those who are in Christ. And as we think about that, we should be moved within us to praise him for who he is and what he has done and continues to do for us and promises to do for us ultimately. He's our rescuer. He's the preserver of our souls. The third thing here is that God is our keeper. Verse 4, "Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked." And the word there that's used in Hebrew can be translated as guard or keep or watch. It carries with us with it the idea of a bodyguard. And we're familiar with that picture. We see it on television often. The VIP attends the functions and they have the two burly bodyguards either side of them. They have the team with the earpieces and the eyes all over the room to make sure that they're kept safe, that they're protected. And yet sometimes we know that those who are employed to watch over, to keep safe these important people, they miss things. Sometimes they don't move quick enough to give the protection that they should give. Sometimes they don't care enough, or they don't have enough strength to be able to put themselves in that place where they'll protect from harm. But the thing we see here is that our God, he's our keeper. He is the ultimate bodyguard. He is the all-knowing one. There's no intelligence that passes him by. He's the all-seeing one. There's nothing in our room, there's nothing in the universe that he has not seen. He's the all-powerful one. There is no one, there is nothing that can stand against him and overcome. And he is the one who loves us so much that he laid down his life so that we could be eternally safe. So as we pray with David in verse 4, keep me from the hands of the wicked, then we can be assured that if we have the Lord as our God, we have nothing and we have no one to fear. We saw something of that in the last psalm also, Psalm 139. We are given the assurance in that psalm that our days in this world, they are numbered. And God is the one who has set that number. He has given us works of service to do, if we are his people, for as long as we are here. And in one sense, we could say we are indestructible until the day that God has determined that we will go from time into eternity. So in the light of that truth, how are we to live? Well, we're not to live recklessly or stupidly. We're to be careful. We're to be sensible. We look both ways before we cross the road. We wash our hands and keep the rules in the middle of a global pandemic. But we don't panic. We don't worry and stress like the world does. Because, like David, we have a keeper, we have a guard of our souls. One who's watching over us. Psalm 121, verse 3 to 8. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Now, why would we go through life alone? And even more so, why would we go through death alone when we have a God who offers to watch over us through every day in life and to be with us, watching over us in death's dark veil and through death into life everlasting, if we will take his hand, trust him, and call him our God? God is our keeper. That's the third point. The fourth point here is that God is our protector. Verse 4. David says, protect me from men of violence who plan to trip my feet. Verse 5. Proud men have hidden a snare for me. They have spread out the cords of their net and have set traps for me along my path. And the word there for protect or for preserve, depending on whether you're reading the ESV or the NIV, it's the same word that's in verse 2. But the situation is different. If we glance back at verse 2, we see that David is very much aware and he's intimidated by the plans of these evil men. He hears all the slanderous words that they say about him. But in verses 4 and 5 here, David, he can't see the tripwires that they've set. He doesn't know where these hidden snares are. He doesn't know where the traps have been placed. And so he comes to the God who does know. and he prays for protection. And for us, when we think about the things that worry us, most of our worrying is about things that we can't see. We worry about falling into this trap and that net. We worry about the snares and the troubles that may or may not be up ahead. And the message that we're given here, I think, is a straightforward one. And it's the message not to worry, but rather to pray to God for protection. Sometimes we'll watch these documentaries of the war years, and we see sometimes as part of these documentaries these ships, these minesweepers, these small ships that were designed to remove or to detonate mines to clear the way, so that there's no explosions, there's no danger in the channel ahead, so that the way is made safe. And that's the kind of protection that our God is able to give us, as we acknowledge him in all our ways. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. He goes before us and he makes our paths straight. He is our protector. And you'll see in the psalm that takes us to the second Selah. So what do we do? We take a breath. We pause. And we think about the fact that God is our keeper, the one who watches over us, the one who guards us. We think about the fact that God is our protector. And we stop panicking about life. And we praise him. Point number five. God is the one who is the hearer of our prayers. Verse 6, David says, O Lord, I say to you, you are my God. Hear, O Lord, my cry for mercy. And we know already that David here, he's in trouble. But in the midst of this trouble, we don't hear David calling a conference with other people. We don't hear David phoning a friend. We don't hear him looking for other people to seek counsel from. He doesn't speak to them. He speaks directly and firstly and earnestly to God. And what does he say? Well, he professes, first of all, that his faith is in God. He says that God is his God, the God whom he is in relationship with. O Lord, I say to you, verse 6, you are my God. He professes his faith is in God. And he confesses his own sin and his own need. That's why he cries out in verse 6 for mercy. Hear, O Lord, my cry for mercy. And it's because David knows God, and it's because David knows that God hears him, that he prays. And it's because David knows that God can help him that he prays with such fervency in the midst of this difficult trial. Stephen Lawson, the commentator, says, our trials either make us or break us. They either make us into the people God wants us to be, or they break us and we crumble. But we never do we remain the same when we go through a difficult trial. They either drive us closer to God or away from God. The same sun that melts the snow hardens the clay. Our trials either soften us or they sour us. They either make us better or they make us bitter. And David here, as he's under trial, he doesn't become embittered. He doesn't turn his back on God. but he draws near to God. He doesn't go silent and look for help every other place, but he cries out to God. And God hears, and God answers. And through David's prayer and God's response to that, God's protection and preservation and keeping and rescue are unlocked. One of our girls got a mobile phone for Christmas. She used to have a phone with a SIM card that never had any credit on it. But now she's got a contract where she can make calls. But when I was asking her if she's actually made any calls, she told me the other day she hasn't made one single call yet. And I just wonder, as I look at myself and each of us, how much are we making use of the open line that we have to heaven? How much are we ready to cry out to God, as David did? How ready are we to call upon the name of the Lord, the one who hears and who answers our prayers? Sometimes we sing that hymn, "Approach My Soul, the Mercy Seat, where Jesus answers prayer. There humbly fall before his feet, for none can perish there." And there are many resolutions that we could make for this year. But I think that there would be no better resolution that we could make than to be those who are more ready to pray. Because we have a God who is a hearer of our prayers. The sixth point here is that we see that God is the one who is sovereign. Verse 7, "O sovereign Lord, my strong deliverer, who shields my head in the day of battle, do not grant the wicked their desires, O Lord. Do not let their plans succeed, or they will become proud." And again, as we look at that verse, or these two verses, verses 7 and 8, we see the repetition that God is our rescuer, he is our deliverer, he is the preserver, he is the keeper, he is the protector of our souls. But the opening note of verse 7 is that God is sovereign. And I think we do well to remember that. There are so many people at this point in history who are hitting the panic button because they think the world is in a state of chaos. We see global pandemics. We feel the reality of that in our lives day by day just now. We switch on the television, we see the United States of America in a state of political freefall. And it looks to some like everything is falling apart. Everything is spiraling out of control. But we are taught here that God is sovereign. In spite of what we see, God is sovereign. And as the hymn goes, God is working his purpose out as year proceeds to year, or year succeeds to year. And that's a truth that was true of the year 2020. And that's a truth that will be true of the year 2021. God is sovereign. He is working. He is always working. We can't always see what he's doing. We don't always understand his ways. But he is sovereign. So in a world just now that is so uptight, let's take heed of the third Selah in this psalm. Let's take a breath. And let's pause to be thankful that God is sovereign. That God is still hearing our prayers. And that he is the God who can be trusted. And the final point here is that God is just. And in verse 9 to verse 13, we hear David's prayer come to a conclusion. And he says, "Let the heads of those who surround me be covered with the trouble their lips have caused. Let burning coals fall upon them. May they be thrown into the fire, into miry pits never to rise. Let slanderers not be established in the land. May disaster hunt down men of violence. I know that the Lord secures justice for the poor and upholds the cause of the needy. Surely the righteous will praise your name, and the upright will live before you." The emphasis in that final section is on God's justice. He is a God who is just. And we get a bit squeamish about this kind of a prayer. But David knows God. And he knows that God is a God who is just. He knows that God is a God who cares for the needy. And as one who at this point in his experience was facing unjust men and dealing with injustice, and David as one who was very much in need, he looks to God. And simply he prays, "Thy will be done." And we might ask the question, is that a cold, hard prayer? And the answer is no, it's not. And yes, we should love our enemies. And yes, we should desire the repentance and the salvation of those who may be our enemies. But if wicked men are determined not to repent and not to turn from their wicked ways, but rather to rebel against God and terrorize God's people as they are throughout the earth, then God has made clear that they will face justice, that they will face judgment. And these images of coals and fire and pits, it's a language of judgment. The truth is, all of us will meet God. And if we refuse to repent, if we determine that we will carry on a wicked course where we stand against God and we refuse His mercy, and we refuse His grace, and we reject His Son, then the Bible is crystal clear, there is judgment. But if we are able to say with David, "The Lord is my God," if we're trusting and bowing before the Lord Jesus, then we can be assured that when we meet Him, we will meet Him not as our judge who will sentence us to eternal punishment, but we will meet Him as the rescuer and the preserver and the watcher over, the protector of our souls. We'll meet Him as the one who has heard and who answers our prayers. We'll meet Him as the God who is the Saviour of our souls. And we'll pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this psalm. We thank You that You reveal Yourself to us in and through these prayers of David. We thank You that the Scripture is the means through which You have shown us who You are. And we thank You, Lord, for who You are. As we hear the prayer of David, we recognize that the answer to David's prayer is Jesus. And we see that what David experienced in part, Jesus experienced in full. We think of the fact that Jesus was slandered by evil men. He was made the focus of the wicked plans of wicked men. He felt the violent blows as He approached the cross. He was the man of sorrows. He is the one who suffered. He is the one who died in our place so that we could be spared the judgment that we deserve as we cry out for mercy and given the grace that Jesus paid for with His blood. So hear us, Lord, as we do cry out with the psalmist that you would rescue us. Give to us all that Christ paid for on the cross. Give to us the grace that we do not deserve, but that grace that is offered to us in the gospel. Enable us to say each one, the Lord is my God. Enable us to know the joy of your salvation. And we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen.